The elements are now on the Lord's table. And while some further verses are being sung, the communicants will come forward and take their place at the Lord's table. There will be two tables on this occasion, so some of the communicants will come forward to the first table and some to the second. And just again, for the sake of clarity, only those who have met with the Kirk session, received a token, should sit at the Lord's table today. And you will sing until the communicants are seated from the same psalm, Psalm 116, and from verse 7. O thou, my soul, do thou return unto thy quiet rest. Authority for the administration of this sacrament. In the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians in chapter 11 and from verse 23, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread, drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And after his own example, we will give thanks. Let us pray. O most high and holy one, graciously do thou draw near to us. And we are gathered in this place of communion and fellowship with the glorious and risen head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the man of thy right hand. May we desire to see something of his glory and beauty, and something of his power and might, the arm of the Lord revealed to us, that we might have the Holy Spirit accompanying the word and sacrament to the nourishment and strengthening of thy dear people. Enable us to give thanks to thee for the administration of thine ordinances, both word and sacrament together, and the great gift which thou hast left with thy church, that thou hast prepared a table for them in the wilderness, in the presence of their enemies. Oh, wilt thou not come thyself, gracious one, and be the head of the table, and may the king sit at his table, and that thou wouldst draw out of the hearts of thy people those good ointments of grace, of love and repentance and faith and hope and joy, of meekness and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness. Oh, that thou wouldst replenish and nourish the hearts of thy children, and feed them with that marrow and fatness of the gospel, that they might see in the symbols of the broken body and the shed blood of Christ what a glorious provision has been made in the everlasting covenant for his children, that bread which is meat indeed, that blood which is drink indeed, the doctrine of his holy word sustaining them, that glorious person who is represented in these symbols, making his love known, his grace known, his power known, and the provision of the everlasting covenant that is ordered in all things and sure, with promises and assurances, to comfort and cheer their hearts, and wine that to the heart of man doth cheerfulness impart. O, do thou accompany it with thy Holy Spirit's blessing, anoint the head of thy children with oil, that their cup may run over, that they might see thy goodness pass before them. Declare thy name unto them, the Lord God merciful and gracious. Seal pardons to their hearts. They confirm thy gracious word, which they did gladly hear. May thy sweet mercies come and visit them, thy benign salvation, and comfort their hearts in midst of afflictions and fears. Rebuke the adversary, shorten his chain. Come in among us, we beseech thee, and may the bread and the wine to be used in this occasion be set apart from a common to a holy use, to be of a help to the faith of thy people, to get a better grip of Christ in this ordinance, and their hearts to be enlarged to receive him, and to reach out their hand to receive that which he is giving. Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which was shed for you, for the remission of sins. Oh, may they eat and drink abundantly, as the beloved of the Savior. May they see his countenance. May they see his glory. May they see the love that he has in his heart towards them. Take away our sins. Receive us graciously. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, you are here sitting at the king's table. And you are to know that it is the king himself who has set the table in the wilderness for you. And that is a very high dignity to which you are called to sit here, as Mephibosheth was to sit among the sons of David. and an honour of heaven that you would sit at the King's table, and that we would bring to your attention again words which were used unwittingly by Pilate concerning the glorious Redeemer, when he in his sufferings and in his sorrows, the man of sorrows acquainted with grief, was brought before them in the degradation to which he had been subjected by his enemies. And in a way of taunting mockery, he is saying, "Behold your King." And you are to do that today. Behold your King. And your King who was despised and rejected of men. Your King who was crowned with thorns. You're to remember his dying love, his grace, his death, his sufferings, his broken body, and his shed blood. Behold your King in these tokens and symbols of his death. And we might think of the King sitting at his table today, and to point you in the direction of some thoughts regarding him, which the Bible reveals. We can think perhaps of David, the great, eminent type of Christ as King. We can think of Solomon. We're told a greater than Solomon is here. And what comforting words these are, to know that he would be here, greater than Solomon, with largeness of heart, as the sand of the seashore, to embrace all his people and all their wants and all their needs and burdens. That's the kind of King you have. But we want to think and appoint you in beholding your King to think back to Abraham, you remember, when he was fleeing, or he was in the midst of his enemies, rather, after he returned from the slaughter of the kings. And we're told that he met, Melchizedek met him. And he got a view of Christ, we believe, that day, which it was for the delighting of his soul and heart. He saw Christ's day, and he rejoiced and was glad when he met Melchizedek. That man who appeared in the pages of history without father or mother recorded, and so like to the Son of God in that regard. And a type of Christ perhaps more eminent than any other in the whole of Scripture, if we're not mistaken. Well, behold your King in this Melchizedek. Three things just to briefly remind you of them. He was the priest, firstly, of the Most High God. And that is what your King is. He is your priest, your great high priest. And he is a kingly priest and a priestly king. That is his office towards his church. And every high priest is taken from among men, and it's ordained for men to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. And that is what your kingly priest has done. He is the priest of the Most High God. For to give you access to the throne of God, there was necessary that a sacrifice be made, and that he would offer himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice, to pay the price of your sins. And that's what the death and the sufferings of Christ are. His sacrifice to satisfy for you. Behold your King then, who sits upon his throne now, a priest upon his throne. He has paid the price, and he is exalted Prince and Savior to give you repentance and remission of sins. That is the fruit of his sacrifice, the effect, the consequences of it. In beholding him then, you are to receive that gift from his hands. You are to take what he has provided. This cup is the New Testament in his blood for the remission of sins. Behold, your King is offering you a cup. He's stretching out his hand, giving you the cup of salvation. The cup of your salvation. That you might call on the name of the Lord. That you might have the forgiveness of sins. That you might have access into his presence by grace and stand before him at his throne. Behold your King, Melchizedek, a New Testament Melchizedek, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He is King of righteousness, secondly. King of righteousness, that's what his name means. And he's pointing to the righteousness which he has wrought out in his obedience for you. He is King of righteousness. And he has clothed you with righteousness, with a garment of salvation and a robe of righteousness. He has provided for you today to sit at his table as his honored guests, as his dignified, royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, to show forth his praises, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You were in the time past not a people, but you're now the people of God. And he's looking on you in the face of his anointed. He's looking on you in the righteousness of Christ. He's seeing no iniquity in his Jacob, nor perverseness in his Israel. He's seeing his people clothed with the righteousness that he is delighting in. He's got the garment to give you. He has the garment. It's his garment that he's put on you. And the Father is receiving you on his account, because you are clothed in his righteousness. Oh, remember it today, that all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and you all do fade as a leaf, and your iniquities like the wind have carried you away. But he is your righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu is to be all things to you. As you sit at the king's table, behold your king of righteousness. And then thirdly, he is King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. And he has purchased peace for you. And he has given you that peace which he himself has purchased. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There was much fear, perhaps, in Abraham, amidst his enemies. Would they come to avenge their quarrel upon him? But he's saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. I am thy king. None other can rule over you like me. I am King of Salem, King of Peace. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, is able to keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. It is peace that he's purchased and peace that he gives unto you. And you are to enter into it and enjoy it. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. That's your king. Behold him. Behold him in the tokens of his kingly love, his kingly grace. Behold him in the symbols of his broken body, his shed blood. Your Melchizedek, this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, and he is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. He ever lives. Behold your king. He will not withhold from you any longer the symbols of the broken body and shed blood of Christ. And we read that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, when he had given thanks, he took bread. Your king, and your king is alive. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And when he was in the hands of his enemies, they mocked, and they reviled, and they scoffed at his kingly honor and glory and claims. And there were those around the cross who desired that the words written would be changed, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. And Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. And unwittingly again, Pilate is affirming what is gloriously true. It's written in the book of God that this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And his enemies compass him about. And they buffet him, they mock him, they crown him with thorns. And they spit upon him. And they revile him. That's what they did to your king. And that's what men will still do to your king. And his people who acknowledge his kingly glory are dwelling in the midst of their enemies still, and enemies to his kingship. And you and all that are to be like his disciples, who saw his kingship still, and who are seeing their king, yes, their king suffering, and their king in his sorrows. And they're saying of him that he is theirs. Thine are we, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Behold your king then in the manner in which they did at Calvary's accursed tree, when he is suffering in his members, when he's suffering in his church, when he's crucified again in this generation. Behold your king. Well, there was one upon the cross beside him who saw the kingly office of Christ in a very wonderful way. His eyes were open to see the king in his beauty. The man of sorrows hanging between the malefactors. And he saw Christ's kingship when others couldn't. And he saw that Christ had a kingdom. And that Christ had an authority in that kingdom to give it to those for whom it was prepared. And his cry was, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And what a beautiful cry that is for his children in this world and all their afflictions and sorrows and crosses for his sake. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Thou hast a kingdom. And Christ is now in that kingdom. He has that kingdom. He reigns in his king, on his throne. He is a king who is reigning forever until his enemies are made his footstool. And you are to be coming to him daily and constantly with the prayer of the dying thief. Lord, remember me. Remember me with that love which thou to thine dost bear. With thy salvation, O my God, to visit me, draw near, that I thy chosen's good may see, and in their joy rejoice, and may with thine inheritance triumph with cheerful voice. You be asking your king to give you a sight of his glory, of his excellencies, his beauty, his love, his graces, his provisions, his might, his power, his purposes, his promises, his will, his life, his intercession at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens, that you would behold your king, that you would behold him at the throne of grace in prayer, that you would behold him in the word of God and his worship, that you would come and bow your knee to him, that you would be remembered in that way, that he would make you a willing subject in a day of his power to come to you, to come to him in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning, that he would have you as the dew of his youth, that you would be his soldiers, going forth into his armies and fighting his battles, fighting the good fight of faith, under his banner, under his ensign, that we would be on his side, and that he would remember you, and that he would give to you that promise, that the day will come after you have suffered a while, when he's made you perfect and established and strengthened and settled you, that he will bring you into paradise. And you will see the king in his beauty in the land that is very far off. Thine eyes shall see him then in the glory and excellence of his majesty. And you will never cease to worship him. And you will never cease to wonder what little thoughts, what little ideas, what little vision you had of him here. what little of his glory you really saw, when the full splendor of his majesty will be seen. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for you. When your eyes shall see him, you shall see him as he is, and you shall be like him. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That day is coming for you, friend, who behold the King here in time. Behold your King. You will rise from his table. With his grace we trust an exercise in your heart while his praise is on your lips, singing in Psalm 103. O thou, my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless.